I'm ready now. We give thanks to God, first of all, for his bountiful blessings which he has so bountifully bestowed upon all of us. And I'm just like Peter, it is good to be here. Today has been a lovely day, and we thank God for it. And as was made mention before in the prayer, that it's not by anything that we have done to merit it, but it is by the grace of our God. Good to see all of you, and if you're visitors, so glad to have you in the audience. Said to those ministers who have taken out of their busy schedule to come and support this meeting, we're glad to see your faces in the place. And I want to say I'm grateful for the hospitality of your great preacher and his wonderful wife today. They came by and picked me up and took me to a very lovely place. I don't recall all the name, but I remember there was Walton up over the building. So I just keep driving until I find a building that got Walton over, and I know I'm in the right place. But they treated me, wouldn't let me pay for a thing, didn't even ask me to leave a tip. And I just want you to know that I like that kind of hospitality, and I'm available again on tomorrow. Amen. But you're such lovely hosts, and we appreciate yours to the highest. Now, don't take people's goodness for granted, because people don't really have to be good to you. But I thank God that there's some are, but folk don't have to treat you good. Well, okay, lest we be long, we're going to try to be quite reasonable this week and getting you out at a decent time. But I tell you what, now, I do believe in putting our souls first in what we do, because what we are here for two reasons. One reason, well, I know I'm here for two reasons. One reason, to save my soul and to help somebody else save theirs. And that's what this business is all about. Amen. Because time is only going to last so long, and we are going to exit out of time into eternity, and then there won't be no end. Whatever our condition is at that time, that's what it will always be. Well, let's just hope when we enter into eternity, we are certain in a place where we want to remain forever. On tonight, I'm going to ask you to focus on the book of Isaiah, the 28th chapter, and the 16th verse. But I'm going to give you another couple of scriptures you can take, so in case somebody gets lost along the way when you get home, you can finish it up. But Isaiah 28:16. And I want you to jot out on the side of that Matthew 7:24 through 27. I'm going to read Isaiah, and then you can jot 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. Isaiah 28:16 reads, "Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not be ashamed or act hastily." And we're going to talk tonight on the subject, a sure foundation. Subtopic, which are you building on? If you're here tonight and you do not share with us our religious conviction, we are so glad that you are here, first of all. And I want you to know that our intent is only to make God's message plain so everyone can understand. Because I believe in my reading of the scriptures that God intended unification in his kingdom among all men. I believe that with all my heart that God never intended for us to be divided and segmentized and all this type of thing, but God intended that all of us be one in one family. And that's the kind of stuff I preach and teach because I believe it with all of my heart. If God had intended for us to be divided, I believe God would have somewhere in the Bible had it written. But no apostle, no prophet, no angel, not Jesus Christ, not Jehovah ever spoke, indicated, or estimated that men should be divided in different religious organizations in the Lord's family. So, I'm saying this up front. I want you to think that I'm trying to exploit nobody, get on nobody's, you know, bad side. I want to try to stay on your good side, but I do need to tell you this. I stay on your good side so long as your good side doesn't clash with God's side. Amen. We understand one another now? All right. A sure foundation. A foundation is important, church. It's vital. It is fundamental and it is the basis of any building or system or establishment. And therefore, it is indispensable. It is unexceptionally required for the bearing and sustaining of a building. If you don't have a foundation, you can't sustain a building. A foundation is the support upon which anything is founded. A foundation must be strong and compatible with the structure that will sit upon it. It must be able to support the load that it will have to carry. Therefore, a house, an establishment, or a good quality life must have a strong and sure foundation to sustain it in all kind of conditions and circumstances. Now, a material foundation, it requires certain materials so as to render it safe and sufficient. Now, you must be sure if you're building material building, be sure that you don't substitute the required materials for a substandard, cheaper product. And most definitely, I say to you, don't leave out the stabilizing elements that holds the foundation together. We're in school now, y'all. Just stay where you are there. You need sand. See, I used to work in construction. And we had to make up, you know, some concrete for the foundation. So you need sand, you need mortar, You need water, but you can't leave out the steel for the strength and the concrete that holds all of the elements together. Now, if you leave those elements out, the foundation will crack and the building will fall. And so are the consequences of our lives. When we are built up on the wrong foundation, when our foundation is faulty, when our lives are built upon the sand of fiction and falsehood, rather than the rock of truth and faith in God, we are destined for destruction. Jesus said, "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon a rock. And when the rain came and when the floods descended and beat upon that house, it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." But he said, "Whoever hear these sayings of mine and doeth them not is like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. When the rain came, the flood descended, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, it fell. And great was the fall." You see, there are fundamental principles and foundational principles that you cannot ignore and expect a pleasant results and a favorable outcome. You understand that a principle is a general a fundamental truth that is the basis of other truths or other theories. Now, we are not focusing tonight on the shallow and undependable and ever-changing, unsustaining, and unprofitable structures of man. No, no. Now, we don't want to build upon something that man has offered. Why? Because they are all invalid substitutes. But I tell you that if we are going to ever recapture a peaceful society with human decency and moral respect, we must build on the right foundation. We must surrender ourselves to divine principles, the ultimate source, the original one, not from a man, but from the Lord. God said, in the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, "If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I'll heal their land." We must build upon establish upon divine principles, a sure, solid rock foundation. Looking at the term foundation, it's the basis on which a thing stands. It is what it's founded upon. It's what supports the building. It's an underlying support. This foundation that we are talking about tonight was not laid by man, but laid by God in Zion. It was laid in Zion. Keep that in your mind. Jerusalem, the capital city of the Jewish nation. Now, I'm talking about the capital city of all of the people of God in the olden days. I'm talking about that type of the holy city, the new Jerusalem, which John saw coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. This foundation was laid
in Zion, keep in mind that if you are in an institution whose foundation was not laid in Zion, you are in the wrong institution. It was laid in Zion, not in Rome. Zion, not in Gainsborough, England. Zion, not in Oxford, England, but in Zion. Not in Hot Springs, Arkansas, but Zion. Not Jackson, Mississippi, but Zion. Not Massachusetts, but Zion. Not France, not Holland, Switzerland, Scotland, Ireland, but in Zion. Not Fayette, New York, but Zion. This foundation was laid by the Lord, not by Pope Boniface III, by God. Not by John Smith, but God. Not by Ezekiel Holliman, but God. Not C.H. Mason, but God. You wondered a while ago why I was talking about all those different places. Those different places represent places where these names I'm calling have established churches on foundations.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be there in a minute.
Catholicism is on the wrong foundation. 606, wrong time. Baptism, wrong date. 1609. Methodism, wrong date. Wrong foundation, 1914. The assembly, so-called, of God. The quote, Church of Christ, Holiness, USA, scientists. In the 15th century, Presbyterian, 18th century. You see, God didn't even leave it to man to choose what name he would be identified by. Put less, build him a church. Isaiah 56 and 5 and 62 and 2. The Bible said that God said, I'm going to give you the name. You see, man is too feeble, too unable, too incapable, too perishable. He is too unstable to lay a sure foundation for man's eternal salvation. Now, people are calling themselves any and everything. Listen, if you please. You cannot build upon a trust in a foundation laid by man. It's not dependable. It will not stand. It is declared in Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse number 5, cursed is the man that trusteth in a man and make flesh his arms. But verse 7 says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, in whose hope the Lord is. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. The wise man said, trust in the Lord with all of thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge God and he'll direct your paths. I submit to you tonight that you beware of the foundation that you're building on. You see, the Lord said, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation. You don't have a multiple choice yet. And you don't have anyone else who can lay the sure foundation. All these fellows coming up with all these different organizations, religious institutions, I stop by to tell you that you cannot lay a sure foundation. How you know? Paul declared in 1 Corinthians 3:11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ didn't build it, you'd better not get in it. I said, you'd better not get in it. Now, inasmuch as Christ is the foundation, he's that stone, that rock, that solid foundation. Still, men, the builders, have rejected it. They've ignored it. They've cast it in aside. They refuse to build on it. The psalmist declared in Psalm 118, I praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and you are become my salvation. The stone, he said, which the builders refused, is become the head of the corner. He said, this is, listen, the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Church, this thing I'm talking about is not mine, but this is God's doing. So I beseech that we not refuse it, but accept it. Don't cast it aside, but build on it. You see, man, in his selfishness and in his assumption, has disregarded God's divine principles and God's absolute truth, and have embraced human improvisation, rather. He has improvised stuff that is nowhere in the Word of God. He has perverted truth. But irrespective of man's rejection, the Bible record still is, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Listen to this. Having this seal, God knows them who are his. I tell folk, now you can build you a church. You can start you up some kind of a religious movement. Nowadays they got more than church. You got churches and you got a lot of this other stuff, a lot of different kind of ministries that's found nowhere in the Bible. You know, folk, they're afraid to say church. They don't realize all church means is the called out. Amen. Don't be afraid of the word church. Amen. Some of our brethren sometimes get a little shaky on the name Church of Christ. They get a little shaky on it. I saw a building go up down south, and the building's up for a long time. And I passed by, and I see that building up on hill and no name on it. And I'm wondering, what church is that? You know, and it went on like that for about a year. No name. And come to find out, it was a Church of Christ. But they wouldn't put the name up there. My question is, you don't want to be identified with Christ? And I have folk with him where, you know, I don't want to scare folk away, because people, you know, and when they hear that name, then they kind of shy away. But if I get them in here, I teach them the truth. God don't want you to fool nobody into his kingdom. Jesus said, if you be ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. See, the church does not belong to us. The foundation is not ours. God laid the foundation, and the foundation is sure. Amen. So we don't have to shy away from it. Man may reject it, but the Bible record is the same. Now, as I've told you, the prophet declared, therefore thus says the Lord, behold, I lay in Zion for foundation and a stone. I am the founder. It's my foundation. It's by my counsel I established it. I ordained it. It is determined and put in Zion through divine designation. Now, if you notice, this stone was specifically for the sure foundation. Not for these, all these other things that's existing in the world today. He said, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, precious cornerstone, a solid bedrock stone, a tried stone, tested and proven, a precious stone, valuable, honorable, costly, and excellent. Chief cornerstone, the stone that holds everything else in place. It further stated that whosoever believeth shall not be confounded. In other words, whoever believes in it, trusts in it, rely upon it, won't be disappointed. And you won't be anxious, but you can rest in peace that everything that he has promised will certainly be fulfilled. If you don't have a sure foundation in Jesus, you don't have a sure future in Jehovah. This sure foundation laid in Zion was not by man, but by God. No man, I told you before, can lay the foundation. The Bible reckons that any foundation no man can lay. Yes, this foundation had to be strong. Solid foundation, anchored deep in the bedrock of divine ordination. That's the kind of foundation we need to build upon, so that the construction of our lives in Jesus, that we can build our spiritual house, that permanent habitation wherein we shall eternally dwell. It behooves us to build upon the sure foundation. You understand? We must be wise builders. Build like a builder builds a house. If you want to be sure about the foundation, you cannot just build on top of the ground. But you got to dig down and find a rock. I'm going to ask for one scripture, and that's all I'm going to ask for. I want you to help me with one scripture. I'm not going to ask you to do a lot of reading, because I don't want you to say that you helped me do the meeting. And then you want me to pay you. Take to this. That was meant to be funny. I want you to turn to the book of Luke. If you don't mind, we want you to turn to the book of Luke. You see, this business of Christianity is serious business. Amen? This is some serious business. Jesus said to his disciples, now, I want to share something with y'all. He had them to know. And you know what? Just don't do Luke. I'm going to do another one. Take a shortcut. Just do Matthew, if you don't mind. Let's do Matthew. I'll quote Luke. Let's do the book of Matthew chapter 7, if you don't mind. Matthew chapter 7. Let's look at that for a minute, and then I'm gonna come on and close this lesson out shortly. Matthew chapter 7. Let's see what the Lord had to say in that 7th chapter. Matthew chapter 7. Jesus was talking. Let's look at verse number 24. Brother Branch, you going to do this for me?
Now,
Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I'll liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon a rock. Now, let me ask you something. Whatever you are building on religiously, Jesus said, in order to be on a rock foundation, you got to hear these sayings of mine. What you are in, did Jesus say anything about it? Read that again. I don't think they got that. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I liken him to a wise man that built his house upon a rock. Read. The rain descended, floods came, the winds blew, beat upon that house. It didn't fall. It was founded upon a rock. Now, Luke said in Luke chapter 6, read verse 47 to 49, what Luke said is, Jesus said, he that heareth these sayings of mine, I'm going to tell you who he's like. He's like a man who dig down deep till he struck a rock. Now, if you're trying to live on this selfish Christianity that has no substantiation in the Bible, is not going to stand in the day of judgment. Jesus said you got to dig down deep and find a rock, and then you build from there. The sure foundation is the church of Christ. It's Christ. How you know? The Bible says so. That passage in the book of Corinthians, when Paul stated that, other foundation can no man lay than that which is, now how you miss this, Christ? How you come up with Pope Boniface? How you come up with John Smith? How you come up with Ezekiel Holloway? How you come up with C.H. Mason? The Bible said that the foundation is Christ. And if you're going to build, you need to build on Christ. And Christ did not establish all of those denominations, people. I'm not trying to be mean, but it's better to get the truth before you get the judgment and know what's right than to get things as if I had known. Well, I tell you what. When I stand before the Lord, you're not going to be able to look at me and say, well, you never said that to me. You never mentioned that to me. I'm going to tell the truth just like it is. Simple, plain, without addition or subtraction. The foundation we need to build on is Jesus Christ. Not on some man, Jesus Christ. I left my glasses. I don't know. I always run off and leave nowhere, but I find them usually in time. I had to go back and get them because the fellow says I can do a lot of talking, but if I want to read, I need my glasses. So, we need to build on a sure foundation. Yes, indeed, we need a foundation that will withstand the worst kind of a storm. Yes, sir. You see, the final and ultimate test, the storm that's the worst storm you haven't seen yet, is going to come in the day of judgment. And I want to know what kind of foundation are you building on. Well, in that day, when the final storm comes, I've seen storms tear up buildings, car, just wreck cities. But I want to tell you, you haven't seen anything until the final storm comes. And if you're not on a sure foundation, you won't be able to stand. Because the Bible declares in the book of Revelation, chapter 6, John declared, he said there was a great earthquake. Amen. John said there was a great earthquake because the sun stopped shining. The moon became as blood. The stars are going far from heaven. You ain't seen no storm yet. A storm so strong until the heavens, go roll together like a scroll. The Bible said mountains gonna start skipping and moving out of their places. You're talking about a storm. That's gonna be a storm. And he said that the kings came off their throne. Mighty men, rich men, bond men, poor men, chief captains, ran to the mountains and the rocks and said, "Fall us, hide us from the face of him that sat on the throne. The great day of his wrath has come." You ain't seen no storm yet, church. What's he going to be standing on then? Hide us from the face of him that sat on the throne. But guess what? There was no hiding place. You run to the mountains moving. Run to the rocks melting. You ain't got nowhere to run. The only thing that's going to stand in a storm like that is the word of God. The only thing that will stand is the word of God. The Bible said God's word shall stand forever. Nothing can stop God's word. So you better make sure that your foundation is built on the word of God. And if you are in something that's not in the word of God, don't be ashamed to get in something that is in the word of God. And wait just a minute. It's amazing how people think that they can just give God anything they want, God accept it. Think about this. Did you know that the church that Christ built on that foundation is his wife? Did you know the church really is the bride of Christ? You do know that? Okay, well, I can go ahead and do this then. Okay. I got a wife. Her first name is Mary. But you can't guess what her last name is. Huh? Huh? I didn't tell you that. Say it again. Because that's my wife. We are how many? We are no more twain. We how many? If I'm a bush, she's a bush. We understand that, right? Now, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how pretty your name is. It doesn't matter how handsome you are. How much money you got? Let me see. What's your name, brother? All right, James. What's your last name? Williams. Your name what? James Williams? Who's this? Deja, what relationship are you? Okay. Can't talk. I don't want to talk to you. I'm trying to find somebody who married. I'm going back to the seat. How you doing, brother?
Doing great.
I'm Brother Elijah Bush.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. What's your name?
Willie.
Malone.
M-A-L-O-N-E.
Oh. This. Okay, that's Your name Willie Malone.
Right.
This your wife. And you don't have to tell me. You don't have to tell me no more. You know what I'm going to say? Hello, Sister Malone. If the church is Christ's wife, why are folk trying to wonder what to call it? I understand. It's Christ's wife. Is his church. Is the church of Christ. Come on now. And don't try to come up with that flimsy stuff. Well, what difference does it make? Who made you big enough to ask God what difference does it make? If God says something, just do it. Amen. Just do it. God is right. Now, if you don't believe in God, you're in the wrong place up in here. If you believe in God, do what God says. The Bible says the church of Christ. And I had a guy popped up and said, well, you all know the stuff going around talking that to our church of Christ, the only church in the Bible, because there's more than the church of Christ in the Bible. The church of God is in the Bible. You know, I'm like, I didn't say what I want to say. I want to say, clown, don't you know that Christ is God? He went over there to the book of Acts 20 and 28. I said, well, if you know anything about that, you know it's talking about Christ. Because it said, the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I said, you know Jehovah doesn't have blood. Jesus, the one who came down, he bled on the cross. God the Son. There are three that bear record in heaven that share the Godhead. There are three that share that. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three connected in Godhead. And the Bible says in the book of Acts, the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. And Paul stated in the book of Romans, 16th chapter and the 16th verse, Paul wrote to several churches and gave great salutation and called them all churches of Christ. None of these others? Come on. When you stand before God, wouldn't you rather be sure that you're standing there by his approval? Wouldn't you? Brother James L. Cotton used to preach a sermon called Get a Receipt. He said, if you got your receipt, you got proof for what you got. But you have no receipt, folk can tell you anything. When I said, when it come to the Lord, get a receipt, the only receipt that you got before God is this. This is the receipt. Amen. If it's in the Bible, God can't turn you down. See, when I stand before God, I want to have something that God can't turn down. Only thing that God can't turn down. Isn't that the kind of foundation you want to be standing on when you stand before the Lord? That's the church of Christ. It's in the Bible. Fellow says, and I don't care where you go in the scripture, you cannot find another church other than the church of Christ. And don't set to say, oh, yes, I can. I read it in the book of Hebrews, the church of the firstborn. Well, if you read Hebrews, look like to me you should have read also the book of Colossians. Because Christ is the firstborn. The foundation is Christ. They have done it. He is the sure foundation. All of us are going to stand before him. Every one of us. And when you stand before him, don't let nobody fool you. Ever heard folks say, well, when you stand before him, I won't say to the Lord, I've done the best I could. I want my crown. That's all right. To say that, but that may not be enough to get you in. No, you must have done what's written in the book of the Word of God. That's what God gonna judge you by. He not gonna judge you by somebody say, well, I did the best I could. That's not what God gonna judge you by. Read Revelation chapter 20. And you find when you stand before God, guess what? Everything you've done is gonna be on your personal record. God got a record for each and every one of us in heaven, and it's going to be pulled out at the judgment. Why y'all look at me like that? Get Revelation 20. They're going to make me preach long. I ain't going to do that. Turn to Revelation 20 in verse 12. Y'all think I'm making this up? John said, see, God gave John a chance to get a preview of the judgment. Well, I'm glad he did. All of that, small and great. Well, we all got to stand before God. Read. Watch what happened. The what? Is that books plural? That's S on that, right? The books were open. Why books? Why were there books? Because everybody got a book. Every lie we told, every bad thought we had, everything we have done in our lives is in your book. Everybody got a book. The books were open. But you see, you got to have more than just the books. Any of y'all ever been to court? Or you ever know anybody ever been to court? Huh? When you go to court and you have a record, have your record, they call the docket. They have your record there, right? And they read on that record what you've done. But the judge doesn't just look at your record and say, well, I think you ought to get 35 years. He doesn't do that. You know what? There's another book up in that court. There's another book. The law book. He can't give you 100 years and your crime on the call for 6 months. Huh? So now when we get before the Lord, now the books, our records will be opened, but then he said what? Another book was opened, read, which is the book of life. Read. The dead were judged out of those things which were written, the stuff that you had done in this life. Read. According to their works. Now God got a law book and your deeds book. And you will stand before God. And every invitation that you heard and turned down and just rejected and refused it is in your book. Oh yeah. God keeps good records. God keeps good records. And guess what? I know I'm right. I believe the wise man says something like, you know, our thoughts of our heart, everything gonna be there. God keeps good records. So my point is, why not get in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? Live the Christian life. So when you stand before God, all the book of law can do is say, well done, he's innocent. He lines up with the book of the law. Do your religious affiliation line up with the book of the law? Is that the foundation you're on? I've talked to you long enough. I want to urge you, if you're not a Christian, come to Christ. Come to Christ. Give him your life. I'd be afraid to be ashamed, and I'd be ashamed to be afraid. Whether you're young or whether you're old, you got a soul that's going to be either saved or lost. And if you're young, young people, come to Jesus. There's so much going on nowadays. We don't never know what's going to happen to us. And God forbid that something bad happened to us, but we never know. Those boys never thought they're going to be in that cave and had to go through all of that to try to get out. They never knew that. That wasn't planned. What I'm saying is, get right with God. So whenever God calls, you don't have to worry. You don't have to worry. Let the wind blow. You don't have to worry. Come to Jesus. Become a Christian. The Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes, talking about children. See, God wants young folk to come to him. Jesus told his disciples, suffer little children to come to me. He wants all of you to come to him. If you come to Jesus now, get your life right. Live a Christian life. A lot of this crazy stuff you see folk get into, you won't have to get into that because you don't know better. You have something in you to steer you in a different direction. I know that things happen to folks sometimes, but if folk had more Jesus in them, we would not have all the kind of problem we're having today. You better believe that if I tell you, amen. And you can put on a million policemen. You can change presidents every year, change governors every 6 months, until you get some Jesus in folk. The world ain't gonna be no better. Amen. Policemen don't change people. They don't change people. They apprehend people. They can take you and lock you up, put you in jail. They can stop you from doing something right now, but they can't change your mind. You got a heart in you. If you want to change some people's lives, guns ain't gonna do it. The bitter club ain't gonna do it. Cause once they get out and get behind your back, they'll do it again because the mind hasn't changed. But if you change the mind, you don't need the gun. Amen. Change a person's mind and you change the person. Amen. Get in Jesus. Be a Christian. Be a Christian in your heart. If you're not a Christian, not a member of the Church of Christ, there are simple steps in coming to Christ. You hear that Jesus died for your sins according to the scriptures. He died on yonder's cross and shed his precious blood. He was buried in Joseph's new tomb and rose up on Sunday morning. When you've heard those three facts, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, you've heard the facts of the gospel. Do you believe that with all of your heart? If you do, you're two steps toward the Lord already. Just be willing to repent of your sin. Turn from your way and turn to God's way. That's repentance. Luke 13, 3 and 5, Acts 17 and 30. And then confess faith in Christ. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Make that confession. And when you make that confession, we baptize you in water for remission of your sins. Acts 2, 38. You rise from baptism, a new creature in Christ Jesus. Things have passed away. All things have now become new. Live faithful until you die. Heaven will be your home. Rest assured, Jesus is coming back. Oh, he's coming back. If you are a Christian, but you know that there is a guilty distance between you and God, there's something in your life that you need out of it. come to Jesus. Ask for some prayer. Prayer changes things. Only ask for some prayer. Do you know prayer will heal any problem we have if we take it to Jesus? If you're disturbed in your mind, ask the Lord to help you. Because a lot of times stuff we have, doctors can't do it no good. Some of that stuff, doctors use a lot of pills and other problems, but we need to take some stuff to Jesus. And I'm not telling nobody, don't take your medication. Don't do that. But I'm saying that there's some stuff that this medication won't heal. You need God to heal it. And then it's simple. Just come, says, y'all pray with me. And you pray yourself. And don't just pray one little prayer and forget it. Constant prayer. Pray all through the day. Let me tell y'all something. I pray through the day. I pray at night. I wake up in the bed at night and pray. Oh, I do it more now than ever. Well, yeah, I'll pray all through the night because I know that I cannot make it without Jesus. I know that. And I don't take God for granted. Sometimes you need somebody to help you pray. So just ask for some help. Will you do that? Amen. Don't come with a burden and you don't have to do that. Give it to Jesus. When you on your feet, if you will. The Bible says another for the fervent effectual prayer of the righteous doth avail much.